and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I'm Leanne Pruitt, your host. I am so excited that I have my friend Dr. Randy Kamen here with us today. Hello, Dr. Randy, how are you?
Great. Thank you, Leanne. Thanks for inviting me for this amazing conference that you're pulling together. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I am so happy that you're here with us. And I'm going to read you guys a little bit about Dr. Randy Kamen so you'll know why I'm so excited that she is here. So Dr. Randy Kamen is a psychologist, leadership coach, educator, and author. Her best-selling book, Behind the Therapy Door, Simple Strategies to Transform Your Life, helps readers effectively manage their minds, become more resilient, and connect deeply with others. Ultimately, they are more confident and successful leaders in the personal and professional realms. Now, Dr. Randy pioneered new territory in mind-body medicine at Harvard Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital and Boston University Schools of Medicine and Dentistry. She trained faculty, staff, and students to manage stress, pain, and psychosomatic disorders while simultaneously improving resiliency and leadership abilities. This training helped students, faculty, and staff, and the people they served. Now, Dr. Kamen leads global online programs, workshops, and retreats for corporations, hospitals, and academic institutions. Dr. Kamen weaves together positive psychology, mind-body medicine, and leadership training in her unique transformational and systematic approach. She also teaches leaders and emerging leaders how to craft their message and then write, publish, promote, and profit from their books. Dr. Kamen has been a part-time faculty member at Harvard Medical School for the past decade. She appears on television, radio, and in major print and online publications. And I am so happy to have you. That's so exciting, Dr. Randy. Wow.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, so, you know, you lead classes, retreats, VIP days, helping women make the next chapter of their lives extraordinary. And you also have a doctorate in psychology and you're a part-time faculty member at Harvard Medical School. So can you tell us more how you got where you are and how all these things sort of have woven together in what you do?
Well, you know, it's been kind of a long, strange trip or ride that I've been on. And I came by it very honestly. I had a very difficult, dysfunctional family, as so many of us do. And it got me interested in mind-body medicine because I thought there's got to be a way out of this other than just talking about it, even though I'm a big believer in the psychological route. And I got very interested in how could we change the brain? How could we really make these changes that are internalized, integrated into our brains and bodies so that we really are making lasting change, not just I'm going to do this thing for 20 days or 30 days or 6 weeks and I'm going to change my life. Because what I've observed over the years is it doesn't work that way. And I knew it didn't work that way for me. There was no quick fix. So I got really interested in making these lifelong changes. And you know, it really worked because I have to say, as a young adult, I would say now, I didn't think that then, that I suffered from mental illness, even, and that I had no idea. I was seeking all the answers in all the wrong places and some of the right places. And it took me a long time to figure it out, to tease it out, to educate myself about it, and to rise at the highest level so that I could speak about it in an honest way that I know could change other people's lives as well. So I don't know if I answered your question.
You did answer my question, and I've got a few more follow-up ones. When you were, you know, you said that you looking back now, when you're a young adult, you believe you were suffering from mental illness.
Yes.
What were you experiencing? What made you think that? What were you seeking out? What were you trying to, I'd say, fix as a goal?
I was trying to fix, like, what is the meaning of my life? Mm-hmm. Why does anything matter? And why do I always feel afraid? Why do I always feel anxious? Why do I always feel these things that I don't want to feel? And how do I make my brain cooperate with the way I want to feel? And I knew that whatever I was doing or seeking out was not working. And so I've had a lifelong pursuit of how do you really make a brain, a mind, a body, a being, a person healthy? Mm-hmm. And I was the guinea pig and tried all the different things and came to see the ripple effect that what I learned made on when I worked with other people. So I had years, I mean, I've been in the field for well over 40 years now. And, you know, I've seen thousands of lives change dramatically because of the stuff that I know works, not necessarily some of the most conventional practices.
Well, now you mentioned the term mind-body medicine. How would you define that?
So I don't think talking therapy alone is a complete modality. Mm-mm. I don't think medicine alone is a complete, it's not a complete modality. It's when you involve the mind, the body, the spirit, medication if needed, and put all of that together, that you're really approaching a full treatment plan. And otherwise, it's just using isolated stuff. It's like throwing spaghetti. I mean, obviously, it helps to have a conversation with somebody who gets you. I mean, what could be more powerful than that as a single thing? But I don't think it's enough to really change the brain the way I needed mine to change. And I know I'm not that much of a fluke because I knew too many other people that were also wackadoodles. And I just thought, okay, they would benefit from this stuff too.
Yeah.
And, you know, the access when I was much younger wasn't really available. It was a burgeoning field and people didn't know about all the stuff. So I started doing research in the field. I started teaching. I was very heavily involved in the academic world. I was at BU School of Medicine for years in dentistry and then at Harvard. And, you know, so the teaching became And the more I taught and the more we learned and the more we all researched, the more we realized that, oh my God, you can't do just straight talk. And I also believe you can't just do straight body work. Like if you work out all day, that's not going to make your head feel, it'll make you feel better because it releases all these amazing neurotransmitters, but it's not going to do the job of feeling seen and understood by another. So it really is the combination of modalities that really makes the magic secret sauce.
I was just thinking that word, secret sauce. I love that, the secret sauce.
Me too.
So Dr. Randy, the title of the online show is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. So tell me, what is the title of the show or Ace Your Space? What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I thought about that. I love the title. I think it's really very succinct, especially now during COVID.
Yes.
You know, you just nailed it because right now our space, the space where we live, the space where we work, the space where we connect with others, couldn't be more important. So it's really important that we make our space literally and figuratively as beautiful, clean, as clear as we need to do whatever our mission is in life, to do whatever our dream is in life. And I've always thought it was really hard to create brilliance from a mess or to create a dream from a mess. And what was interesting is when I was growing up, my mother used to say to me, I could always tell what mood you're in by just glancing at your room. So I thought that was really funny because of our conversation today. It reminded me of that because I know there were days when I was very chaotic, especially in high school, mm-hmm. and everything was like all over the place. But then I would come home and I would have to organize it, you know, and keep it really tight. And as a mother, organization and keeping things nice and organized really meant a lot to me because I felt like everything else is out of control. If I could keep this under wraps, I'll be okay. So I really was actually rather compulsive about keeping everything nice. The toys were put away at the end of the day when my kids were growing up and beds were made in the morning. You know, I liked it to be nice. And then I had a very productive day because I always worked a very full schedule, but I wanted to be there with my kids. So I had to keep it together and keep it organized. I also think that when you keep your space and you ace your space, really, that you could focus in on what matters the most to you. You could get clear about, you have the opportunity, you're creating a space where you could get more in touch with what's your real dream or vision.
I love that. What a good answer. So you talked about when you were a child and when you were a young mother, that you were, you know, like having an organized space was important to you, or having, you know, not having the space with lack of clutter. So have you, so it sounds like you've always been a pretty organized person.
No.
No.
I have ADD for sure. Uh-huh. And you know what? My space has always been pretty organized, but my, you know, I don't have an organized brain. Mm-hmm. I have to organize myself every day. So every day I spend some time in the morning over a cup of coffee. Like I usually do it at night too, but I hone in on the details. What really matters? What do I really need to accomplish today? And I want to say that one thing I've learned to do is to get rid of the clutter in what I need to accomplish. Because I feel like so much of the stuff that made it to that list was clutter and just, pardon my French, bullshit in terms of as a waste of my time. And I no longer put, you know, obviously if I have to go to CVS or something like that, then I have to do it. But the stuff that makes my list, and this is what I encourage my clients, my colleagues, my patients to do, is think about what really, really matters the most to you. What's your dream? What's your vision? Once again, because I'm very vision oriented. And are you pushing that forward? Because that's what has to make the top of your list every single time. Every single day, you never skip a day where you're not pushing your dream forward, because you have time for all this other stuff and you're gonna miss out on your dream. I think that's crazy. I think we've gotta find a way to really prioritize that dream in the face of all else.
You know what, I love that you said that, because, you know, for me, clutter, of course, you know, clutter is certainly the physical stuff, but it's really anything that gets in the way of us and what we want to do. It's that cluttered to-do list. It's, you know, the cluttered thoughts that we have in our mind. It's, you know, it can be like health and wellness clutter, financial. It's just, it's anything that gets in the way.
Absolutely. The cluttered brain.
Yeah.
It's the cluttered, how do you get rid of all that wasted energy? And I spend a lot of time with my people on this, about those repetitive thoughts that are so unproductive. That's clutter.
Yes.
And we all know about that. How do you tame the brain in such a way that you get rid of that? Because then you're creating space for real creative thought and for moving your vision, your dreams forward. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So now when you work with the women, like you just mentioned, the women that you work with, when you work with them to like build that extraordinary next chapter, of course the mind clutter gets in the way, but what other things get in the way of them achieving that goal, those goals, or whatever their particular goal is for their next extraordinary chapter?
Well, so many women have learned to put everybody and everything and everyone in front of their needs, mm-hmm. that they're the last in line to get fed or taken care of. And I make such a point of it's got to be the reverse. Everybody else can wait. Everything else could wait until you get fed, until you get taken care of, until you do your 20 minutes of exercise and your 10 minutes of meditation. You fuel yourself, and then the rest of the day, you have the wherewithal to give and to do and to be for everybody else if that's what's required. Although I think you need to take these short, frequent breaks, and there's research backing that short, frequent breaks are actually better than taking like a 2-hour break. It's better to take more frequent ones throughout the day. And I have these little exercises that I have people do, but you know, there are so many exercises that you could do for either your mind or body that bring you to a better place, or a place of homeostasis, of self-regulation, where you feel like, okay, now I've got the energy for everybody else who needs me. Mm-hmm. So you have to take care of yourself first, and the clutter of everybody else's needs can wait. And then you could sort that clutter out so much more effectively.
I love that. It's just like, you know, what they tell you on the plane, put the mask on yourself first and then help the other people. Yeah.
Exactly. It's such a metaphor, and it's so true. It's so true. And we tend to put it on everybody else as women and then hope and pray there's enough left over for us. Whereas if we fed ourselves first or put the oxygen mask on first, then for sure we'd be able to help more people and not feel as burnt out.
Exactly.
Burnout is mostly self-imposed.
Yeah, I can see that. I have no trouble believing that, because it was like, you know, we think we have to do this, and we do not have to do these things that we think we have to do. Now, when the women you work with are able to kind of make that shift, be able to put themselves first, be able to kind of silence those voices in their mind that tell them they can't or whatever, or they're to this or to that or whatever, you know, what have you seen show up for them when they are able to actually kind of make that leap and kind of begin to set up that extraordinary life for themselves?
Well, what I see is that these women are rising at the highest levels. I mean, I already work with women that are rather accomplished, mm-hmm. not necessarily all to the same degree, but they're accomplished people that just keep themselves back and smaller than they need to be. And when they start realizing that the sky's the limit, that they could accomplish anything they want. They could run departments. They could create companies. They could, you know, become the CEO of the company. I mean, that anything's possible when you start to value yourself and realize that you deserve to be treated well, and that when you are treated well, that you get to rise in any capacity. It's not professional. You rise as a mother, you rise as a teacher, as a nurse, as a doctor, as a business person. It doesn't matter what you're doing when you take care of yourself and your self-esteem, your self-confidence is really strong and in place. Mm-hmm. Anything's possible, and you become so much more attractive to others and so much more appealing when you lead with, I'm worth it.
Yeah.
Rather than I'm leading with, oh, I feel so shitty about myself. I mean, and that's how so many women lead. So what I've discovered is the most fabulous women, you know, have this like, I mean, I've worked with some amazing people, and if I can't speak names because that's not cool, but, and then to see that they're great when they have low self-esteem, but what they're capable of when they feel good about themselves and know that they contribute and contribute in powerful ways, then they really rock it. And that's just, I love seeing that shift. I mean, it's just so moving to me. And I think because I went through it as, you know, feeling so less than for so many years, and I see how people respond to me now that I really don't feel that way anymore. You know, I know who I am and what I bring to the table. And it's not that it's perfect or always in place, but, you know, I'm mostly coming from a place of high value and self-respect. Mm-hmm. And it takes time to get there, especially when you come from a family that didn't empower you to feel that way. But even when people do grow up in families like that, it doesn't mean that they always believe it.
Right. That's true. That's true. So I'm thinking for the listeners, you know, for the audience listening today, what steps could you give them, some steps that they could take to start beginning to like reclaim their self-confidence and self-worth?
Well, the gift I'm giving to people is it's a morning ritual. I know we aren't talking about the gift right now, but I'm just saying it's three videos, and it teaches a morning ritual that, you know, I call the kick-ass morning ritual. It's just a good morning ritual. I've been teaching it 40 years now, and I've just refined it, and it's really great. And rather than go into how I think it will help, I just think if any of your viewers watch the three videos, they'll really understand what they need to do in the morning, which takes under 5 minutes. And if they do that every day, I promise next year when you do this again, if you wait a year, unless you're compelled to do it sooner, their lives will be different. Just do this morning ritual for 5 minutes every single day, or as many days as you possibly can, and your life will absolutely be different in a year from now. I absolutely promise.
Oh gosh, I got to do this morning ritual myself.
Definitely, Leanne. Definitely. It will only help. It will only help your self-esteem and any, you know, it could only help. And it's all research-based. So there's nothing that I'm sort of making up about it. The only thing that I would say is when that's in place, I think it's, and I always teach this, it's very important to keep a journal so that you keep track of your thoughts. Mm-hmm. But when you are journaling, what I encourage people to do as a first great step, besides the morning ritual, is write down without censoring, without limiting thoughts or beliefs or listening to any of the negative stuff. Just write down everything that really, really, really matters. Not the shoulds or somebody, you know, your partner told you, your parents told you, your kid told you, none of that. Just what really matters to you. And then pick one thing and be sure that you move that one thing forward every single day. Every single day until you've risen in that level, in that thing. Because then what you see is how capable you are. If you could do that one thing, you could do all the other things. You just tease it out, track it in your journal, and you will rise. Whether it's about decluttering your house in every single drawer and every single closet, except for maybe one that you throw all the stuff in. I like to have one junk drawer. You know, the rest are pretty organized, but I do like to have one junk drawer. But in any case, you know, if you pick out something that's really meaningful, like how do I get rid of negative thoughts and start thinking well of myself, of the people in my life? Or how do I choose my friends so that I'm surrounded by people that really love me and support me rather than the naysayers or the people that don't think highly of me or hold me back, keep me small? Because, I mean, I'm going off on a tangent right now. I do find that another area of clutter is our relationships, our friendships. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the toxic ones or put them, you know, if it's a family member and you can't get rid of them, put them, you know, there are like layers of pearls. They're here, and the other ones are, you know what, you want to keep the close ones, the ones that support you close to you. Yeah. And that's, so it's just figuring out what matters to you across the board, mm-hmm. and then focusing in on what brings me joy and meaning and helps me to rise.
Got it.
And if you're focused on that stuff, then the other stuff is the clutter that sort of melts away.
Falls away. I love that. That's beautiful. Now let me ask you, the world is very different right now with this COVID, with our COVID-19 and stuff like that. What are some new challenges that you're seeing your clients and followers face that they didn't consider 6 months ago?
Well, the big one is working at home for so many of the women I work with. I work with a lot of physicians, not necessarily just physicians, but I do. And a lot of them with the televisits and all of that. And just, you know, I see my own adult children are all working from home. And that's a really different use of not only the brain, but of the space.
Right.
So right now, I'm actually living in our barn. We have a barn and then we have a main house. The kids, it's not a big house, but it's, you know, but it's divided into like four quadrants. So everybody has a space from which they could work and have some privacy. And it's just so interesting how you can find these spaces and create them so that you're working a different way and a whole new rearranging your mind, and proximity and distance is a whole new way of being together.
Right.
And the use of, you know, we were slightly ahead of the game because we were doing online summits, right. and online stuff. And I used to talk about, oh, why don't we meet on Zoom? And nobody knew what I was talking about. And now everybody in the world knows about Zoom, you know, it's so funny. So it's just, kind of retraining the brain to think about space differently and relationships differently and working differently. You know, we've made a lot of adjustments in 6 months since the whole COVID really struck.
Have some of your clients and followers been having a harder time of it than others, or is everybody pretty much catching on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, you know, not knock on wood or whatever you want, you know, the women that are in my groups are doing fantastically well, but that's because they're supported by 10, 15 women. Mm-hmm. And in the groups that I lead, everybody has accountability partners. Right. So they're not only getting support from me, but they're getting support 360 from everybody in the group. Mm-hmm. So they have fared very, very well. And when it's been challenging, they bring it to either their accountability partner, they're in their session with me, or in the group. And they've done extraordinary. The timing just worked out so well that it coincided with COVID. So they're doing very well. I think the people that are doing the least well are single people living alone.
Yeah.
Because you cannot do well without connection during this time. Mm-hmm. So even if you are single and living alone, it's crucial to work on making those connections right now. It's just crucial in terms of your mental health, your emotional health.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, you brought up a good point. It's like the people who really do have support and have a community around them that they can reach out to and say, oh, I'm having a bad day, or oh, this is crazy today. It's like, they're the ones they get. It's just extra, you know, it's just.
And nothing has to even change. Mm-hmm. If you just said, you know what, I'm having the worst day. I don't know why, nothing's working today. Even if that's all that happens, usually you feel better just by having shared that with another person that cares.
Yeah.
And then you feel seen and visible. And that, as human beings, is what we want the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, be seen, visible, connected, and feel like we're contributing in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Now, do you have any tips for us to help us free our time and reclaim our energy?
Well, the biggest one is, you know, the most obvious, which is just to get rid of all the stuff that, you know, I'm finding that going through my drawers and literally and figuratively going through the drawers and getting rid of all the stuff that I don't, it's like a Marie Kondo thing, you know, of getting, if it doesn't feel good, look good, you know, smell good, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Just give it away. Just give it away. Just give it away. And I would say the same thing about everything in your life that's not working or that's extra. You have extra pots and pans. It feels so good. I got rid of all the junky pots and pans and I only have my good ones now. I have many fewer, but yeah. I opened the drawer and I cleaned it out and I feel like, oh my God, this is so shiny and nice and everything works. And when there's broken stuff and stuff you're going to get to, like, I am just finding this as a wonderful opportunity to just purge and get rid of stuff. And I want to just emphasize one thing, especially the people thing. If there are people in your life that aren't supporting you, rearrange your connection with them so that you don't keep it at the highest level, but instead keep close to your heart and your soul and your body, the people that love you and are not questioning your every move and giving you a hard time for your choices and that really just see your brilliance and want to celebrate it, even if they don't get it.
Yep. Got it. I love that. That's really great. That's the thing. It's like, if you're spending your time and energy on things that no longer serve you, that clutter, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Get rid of it. Bye-bye.
Okay, I have a question for you. What is the most interesting thing you've read or seen this week? Now, of course, I know this is Monday, so I'll give you a week. We're recording this on a Monday. So I'll give you, it's like in the past week. What's the most interesting thing?
So this week, well, okay, this is another big share, and that's that I'm going through a divorce after many, many years of a marriage. We grew apart. It's not that I married a bad guy. I married a wonderful man. It's just that we were so different after the kids grew up and we went in separate directions. So I don't want to compare it to clutter, but it's, you know, it's like the relationship was just different. So what I've seen that is just so interesting now is that there is online dating, of course. I mean, everybody knows about it. It's just new for me. Yeah. So I have to say, this is a new experience for me to be video chatting, not because of work or business or even a friend, but to meet a man.
It's wild.
It's very funny to me. It's like an interview on, you know, you try to act like it's not an interview, but it is an interview. And it's, I find it to be very, I mean, I'm having fun with it.
Good. I love that.
Too seriously.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Rainey, what's a movie you can practically quote from start to finish?
You know, I thought about that. I'm terrible with memory. I think it's part of my ADD-ness, but not memory as such. I remember people very well. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of a single movie like that.
You know, I don't know if I have a movie that I can quote from start to finish, but I know that, like, when The Sound of Music comes on, I can sing all the songs.
I can sing all those songs.
I can remember my mother used to say, she'd say, stop singing, we want to hear it. But I'm like, no, and I just sing all the songs. It's so funny.
I bet you have a good singing voice.
It's not bad.
I bet. I sound like, I have a good speaking voice. Uh-huh. Terrible, terrible, terrible singing voice.
Got you.
Like, people say, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop. No. Okay, so you already mentioned your gift that you have for the audience.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about it again?
Okay, well, just very briefly, it's three videos that comprise the three different components of a morning ritual that I have everybody do that I work with. In fact, if they don't do it, I don't agree to work with them, because I know that it creates the foundational resources that they need for everything else that I'm going to teach them.
Got it.
So it's really important. And then after, you know, a long time of doing it, if you want to give it up, fine. But what I find is that the people that do give it up inevitably get back to it once they've learned it, because it's so grounding. And it's so simple, and it's under 5 minutes, so it's not taking a lot of time. And in the videos, it's a brief breathing exercise, and then it's a very brief meditation just for a couple of minutes, and then an affirmation. And I help people discover how to do this affirmation. So, because when the mind is relaxed, it's very receptive to new input and to new learning, new teaching. And after a couple of minutes of doing the meditation and the breathing, you are ready. And then what you do is you set yourself up for success for the day, because you let something into your mind, rather than the first thing is, oh no, which is the way so many of us wake up and start with the negativity. You're waking up and going right into the foundational stuff of what's good, of what's positive. How do I take in the good and make this day extraordinary, make this day count? And then whatever happens is not going to be that bad in all likelihood. And if it is bad, you take it better. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Now, I love that. That's going to be so useful. And we'll have a link below to the side, somewhere around this video. We'll have a link to that so that people can get to it easily.
Yeah, people will benefit from it for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it myself. Like I said, that's great.
Even if you already meditate and you already practice yoga and breathing, it doesn't matter. You'll still get something different out of this.
Perfect. I love that. Now, if you could leave people with one action other than the kick-ass morning that they can take to help them declutter their life, what would it be?
You know, I come back to moving your dream forward every day, because if you move your dream forward, whatever that, or dreams, whatever that happens to be, then you start to see what the clutter really is and how much clutter there really is, because you're focused on the big thing rather than all the tchotchke stuff that blinds you to from seeing what really matters. So you focus on that one thing that's really near and dear to your heart, and then you start seeing, like, I didn't need that appointment, or I don't need to go to the store for that, or I don't need to do this. And a lot of the stuff falls by the wayside because you're focused in on what really counts. And when you focus on that, the other stuff melts.
I love that. That's great. Thank you so much. You know what, Dr. Rennie, I've had such a good time talking with you today. Thank you so much for being on the series.
Thank you, Leanne. This has been absolutely fun and wonderful and lovely. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You are very welcome. And I know the audience is going to enjoy this just as much as I have had, as much fun as I have had. And audience, I want to tell you guys to make sure that you look in your email tomorrow. We've got another couple of great Ace Your Space interviews coming your way. And until then, I'll see you later. Bye-bye.